House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is February 3rd. The first item is House Bill 2304 is being removed from the agenda, today's agenda. We'll have a first public hearing on House Bill 2169. Ms. Sybil, if you would give us explanation for that, open the public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You are going to be hearing five bills over the next 2 days, four of which are going to be, they serve basically two functions. One of them is to make technical changes and to close some loopholes in current sex offender registration laws. The other component is to bring Oregon into partial compliance with the Walsh Act that was enacted in 2006, and you have a detailed write-up, I believe, in the SMS that has been handed out. And if you have any additional questions, of course, about the Walsh Act, you can feel free to ask myself or some of the witnesses. So the bills you're going to be hearing specifically today, 2169, 70, and 71, are addressing current law, loopholes in those laws, and then also the second component of bringing Oregon into compliance. The 2172 has to do with relief under the sex offender registration laws, and I believe we'll touch upon that when we get farther down the agenda.
Okay, and do you want to explain the dash ones, or is that...
We also have a dash one amendments for 2169. That is, by the way, the only bill you have before you today that is not ready to be worked at this point. 2169, the dash one amendments, essentially cover changes in language as to who the supervising agency is in certain circumstances. It's technical, but it's essentially a cleanup bill, and I believe you can ask the witnesses if you have any additional questions about that, but that should pretty much cover it.
Okay. Should I be?
You already can say please.
Should have both at the same time.
And Jeff Wood, please. And you can speak in any order you wish. Just please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you.
Chairman Barker, members of the committee, my name is Vi Beatty, for the record. I am the Oregon State Sex Offender Registry Manager with Oregon State Police. And I'm here on behalf of Oregon State Police to testify in favor of House Bill 2169. I'd also like to take this moment to mention that we have received authorization for the support of Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police, as well as SOSN and the Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors. And I am dealing with a cold, so please excuse me.
Join the crowd.
What we're trying in House Bill 2169 to do is clarify what it means to report when a registrant comes in to complete registration. Currently, what we've observed throughout the state is different jurisdictions, different judges rule differently. In one instance, we had an individual walk into an office, flip a personal business card at the receptionist, walk out. He was arrested 10 days later for failed to register, and the judge ruled that he had completed his reporting obligation, therefore he had not violated failed to register. We've also had an individual who went to court and was told he only had to provide his name and address, and no additional information was required to complete registration. We also have people who appear after hours knowing that registration occurs between 8 and 5 in certain agencies, and the judges have ruled that they have met the reporting requirement even though they have not completed registration. So what we're trying to do is define what completing registration means. Providing the information to complete the form, sign the form, and submit to a photograph of your person or scars, marks, and tattoos for identification purposes. Currently, under fail to register, it says that a person fails to register if they fail to complete their annual change of address or higher education registrations. There is nothing that says if you refuse to sign the form that you have failed to register, or if you refuse to submit to a photograph. The onus of obtaining the signature and the photograph currently is placed upon the registering agency, not the person reporting to complete registration. So we're just trying to fine-tune and do some housekeeping so that everyone is playing from the same piece of paper, basically. if anyone has any questions, I'm available for those at this time.
Any questions? Please go ahead.
Thank you. Chairman Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jeff Wood. I am the acting lieutenant of the Marion County Sheriff's Office in the Parole and Probation Division. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors and the Sex Offender Supervision Network, SOSN, as mentioned. SOSN is an umbrella group of OACCD that consists of corrections, treatment, and law enforcement professionals dedicated to the effective supervision and management of sex offenders in the state of Oregon. I am here to provide support for the above-referenced bill sponsored by the Oregon State Police Sex Offender Registration Unit. Suffice it to say, not only do we support House Bill 2169, but we also support House Bill 2170, 2171, and 2172. As many of you know, registration of sex offenders was first enacted in 1989, later modified in 1991, creating lifetime registration. Over the years, the relatively simple concept has grown and has somewhat of a Pandora's box effect where loopholes, federal legislation, and unforeseen events have created a need for even more local legislation. It's the belief of OACCD and SOSN that these reference bills provide good policy by helping close current loopholes, provide clarity to the existing state statute, and set consistent, definable standards for our sex offender registrant population, whether they are seeking relief, abscond, or simply trying to comply with the registration requirements. If you have any questions, I am available.
Questions? Seeing none, thank you. Testimony. Ms. Sill explained that the amendment is a cleanup, and I need a motion on, close the public hearing. I can move this to the hearing without a work session, I think. Can I? Yeah. Okay. We don't have the fiscals yet, so we're not going to work this bill today. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we're still in discussion? Or
yes.
And this Council Civil, the estimated cost to do this, comply, is $6 to $7 million?
No.
Not for this individual bill, not for 2169. No. $6 to $7 million is the estimated cost for bringing all of Oregon into substantial compliance with the Walsh Act.
All the procedures.
Yes, which Oregon is holding off on in many ways due to court decisions, the financial impact, and it being unclear whether any other state is going to actually try to achieve substantial compliance.
So the fiscal, Mr. Chair, that we're going to get, is it's going to be on this, enacting this bill?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It should be a lot less than that.
We hope.
Better be.
Considerably, yeah. Hopefully.
Okay. So in order to move this along in our hearing, I need a motion on House Bill 2169 and the -1 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt -1 amendments into 2169.
Representative Wisnant moves to adopt the -1 amendments. Is there any discussion on that? Further objection, roll call, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stiegler?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnant?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. The -1s are adopted, and I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2169. Item on the agenda, we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2170 for hearing and possible work session. Civil.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as I mentioned before, 2170 is part of the partial compliance. It also is going to close a loophole essentially for offenders who are actually living in the state. Currently, if you're out of state and you attend school or you work in the state, you're required to register even if you don't have an offense that's registrable under Oregon law. This is going to require that people who actually move into the state and fit certain criteria will have to register. It's simply closing a loophole in this area, and we do have the fiscals and revenue are back. There's no impact in either one.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Beatty, please.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee. My name is Vi Beatty. I am the registry manager for the state of Oregon, working with Oregon State Police, and I'm here on behalf of my agency, as well as the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police, OACCD, and SOSN, to provide support for this. Basically, what this does, as council mentioned, is it closes a loophole. In 2005, when we passed the campus, our version of the Campus Sex Crimes Act in Oregon, we require persons who have Oregon convictions or who compact their supervision to Oregon to register if they attend, work at, or carry on a vocation at an institution of higher education. What we fail to notice is that if a person completes their sentence in another jurisdiction and then moves into the state of Oregon, they do not have the same registration obligation. If they're a non-resident student or worker, they do. So if I am a sex offender and I live in the state of Washington, if I attend school in Oregon, I currently do have to register my status or any status change. But if I'm convicted in the state of Washington and I move to Oregon, even though I'm required to register, I do not have to report any vocation, work at, or attendance to any institution of higher education. So we're trying to close that loophole with this. I'm available for any questions.
Any questions? Hey, thank you. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2170 and open a work session on House Bill 2170. I would accept a motion to move this to the floor with a new pass.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2170 with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cameron moves House Bill 2170 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stiegler?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Cameron, would you carry that for us?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2171. Again, Ms. Sybil, please.
House Bill 2171 is simply to allow for prosecution of failure to report either in the county from which the person is moved or the county to which the person is moved if they haven't registered within the required period of time. So it's essentially a venue issue.
Okay, Ms. Beatty, one more time, please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Vi Beatty. I'm the registry manager for the state of Oregon. I'm here in support of the bill for Oregon State Police. Received authority from OACCD, SOSN, and the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police for their support as well. What we're trying to do with this bill is allow counties to prosecute for fail to register either in the county where the person last registered or in the county where they're currently residing. Now, I'd like to clarify on that one that it's not as large of an issue when the person is located in the state of Oregon. In that case, if they've been living at that address for 10 days or longer, they are required to register there. It's a fairly clear venue issue for prosecution. However, what we're faced with are those offenders who leave their previously registered address and drop off the radar. They could be located in the state of Oregon, or they could be located somewhere else in the nation. In that instance, we have issues proving that that person has violated fail to register, even though they have. And no warrants are currently being issued by district attorney's offices in most cases. So there is nothing on the radar nationally for law enforcement to know if they contact this individual, they have absconded as a sex offender in the state of Oregon. So we're trying to set up some or some avenue where we can issue warrants for persons who are non-compliant with Oregon registration law.
Okay, so if I'm supposed to register in Oregon, I move to Idaho or someplace, and now nothing's done, and I don't register, I just go kind of disappear. That's the problem now?
That's the problem now.
And so if you issue, that if the Washington County District Attorney were to issue a warrant for me, then I would be served in Idaho?
Yes.
And I'd be brought back. Okay. And why can't they do that now?
It's a little interesting. We had a ruling called State versus Lauren McNabb that came out in September of 2008. In that ruling, law enforcement, very rightly so, is to double check and make sure that within that 10-day period when they leave their registered address, that individual is located in that venue. But because of the McNabb ruling, district attorney's offices have pretty much just dropped off and said, we're not going to issue warrants on any of these cases. So we'll take the county of Multnomah. In Multnomah County, unless the offender is currently located in Multnomah County, they will not prosecute a fail to register case. So even though the individual registered in Multnomah County last was there and then left, and they can prove that during that 10-day period the individual still lived there, we cannot get the district attorney's office to issue a warrant stating that that person is non-compliant in the state of Oregon.
Okay, I'm still a little confused. So the law, that the court decision that changed that, what did it say?
It basically said that during the 1.5 to 2 month period that law enforcement assumed this individual lived at his registered address, because he registered here and registered here, but he was in violation during this period. They assumed without checking that he was still located at that address because of the registrations on either end. The court ruled that law enforcement would have to determine for sure that that individual did live there during that time frame.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you. Ms. Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Gail Meyer, here on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. House Bill 2171 is a venue provision, and I do want to simply point out at the outset of my remarks here that there are constitutional underpinnings to the venue requirement of any case. Article 1, Section 11 of the Oregon Constitution guarantees the accused the right to be tried in the county in which the offense occurs. And so it states, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have the right to public trial by an impartial jury in the county in which the offense shall have been committed. So that raises the issue of what really is the gravamen of the offense. And as I read the statutory scheme here, the gravamen of the offense is failure to report where you are, not failure to report where you had been. And so by allowing a prosecution to occur in either county, it seems to me that we're getting perilously close if we don't violate that provision. ORS 181596 obligates the offender within 10 days of discharge or release on parole, the person shall report in person to the Department of State Police, a chief of police, or a county sheriff, or to the supervising agency, if any. And the obligation to report in person would connote that it has to be the county in which you are, not the county in which you have left. This is not really a continuing offense. It's not as though you were to kidnap a child in one county and then they be found in a separate county where you have an ongoing course of conduct. The course of conduct arises simply because within a certain limited time frame you had not reported in person to the city police or the county sheriff. And so I would suggest that the problem here really is, I don't think it needs to be fixed by purview of a venue statute. The statutory scheme that currently exists requires the offender to report within 10 days of their date of birth. So if someone does truly, quote, go off the radar screen, there are provisions within the statute that obligates that offender to report at least at a very minimum yearly. So the warrant can go out at some point. And it sounds, quite frankly, as though the McNabb decision, and I regrettably have to confess I haven't studied it, it sounds that that was more of a proof problem, but that doesn't necessarily have to be rectified through a venue change, a change in the venue scheme.
Okay. Chris, have you seen Stateworth versus Wigglesworth?
No.
You seen that case?
No.
The LC has given us a ruling that that's on point, and that change of residence is an element of the offense that occurs in the prior county of residence. As a result, they believe that that would survive a challenge under Article 11, under Section 11, Article 1 of the Constitution.
If an offender has an obligation to inform a county that he or she leaves, I would suggest the statute doesn't say that.
They're required within 10 days of moving to register.
Correct. They're within, in making a change of residence, they need to report within 10 days to the state police, chief of police, or a county sheriff, or the supervising agency in person. If they're suggesting that you need to report at both counties, the one you're moved from and the one you've moved to, the scheme does not say that.
That's not what this is.
As I understand this bill, it requires that you, could you cover that for us? It requires that you register within 10 days, and its failure to do that is the question. If somebody registered somewhere else in 10 days, I think they would be okay. It's that they're not doing that, that they're, mm-hmm. You move away and do something, and then in 6 months, you go someplace else and register, and in the 6 months, you haven't been registered. That's the issue they're looking at here, as I understand
it's
it.
It's outside of the 11th day. So
after 11 days. You need to be registered on the 11th day, and if you're not, you're in violation.
Oh,
and
I agree.
That's what they're looking at. So somebody then registers sometime later, well, there is a big period of noncompliance.
I would agree the time frame. Mr. Chair, are you suggesting then that if they were to register in a third county, they'd be in compliance? I mean, if they were to move from County A to County B, and within the time frame, register within County C, it would be in compliance?
Yes.
Yeah,
as long as they register in 10 days, they could register somewhere else, it's fine. But if they haven't, that's the problem. When they're dropped off the radar, where are they? Nobody knows, and then they find them, and they haven't registered, that they would be able to, if they left Multnomah County, then Multnomah County would be able to prosecute them. Now there's a question of that. That's the venue question.
Okay. Perhaps then, thank you. So clarified. Perhaps the statute could be more clear in that I don't know if an offender reading it would understand they could go anywhere and be in compliance. I would suggest that if you have to report in person, it would connote you report in person in the county in which you reside. I would think that would be the fair reading. But
any clarification on that at all? Or?
To some extent, Mr. Chair, I think we're talking, I guess, at each other. I think that if you report in person within 10 days, it's covered. But if you are at the 11th day, then if you lived in Umatilla, you can be prosecuted in Umatilla. If you were supposed to be or you actually are in Marion, then you can be prosecuted in Marion because it's the 11th day and it's after that window. But if within that 10 days you move somewhere and you do, in fact, register, then you're in compliance with the statute.
Yeah. Right. I don't quarrel with the time frame. The question is where does the offense occur, I'm hearing the committee suggest that it doesn't really matter where you report as long as you do so within the 10 days. And if in fact an offender does, because we get those phone calls. I mean, as a lawyer, we do. We get the phone calls. Where am I supposed to go? And because sometimes they are back. Especially in more of the east counties, it's not always that easy to drive to the new county of residence if they're moving houses or whatnot and trucks and furniture and whatnot. So I've always advised clients, and I know others have too, the obligation to report is in the county of your current residence.
They report where they move to is fine. This isn't an issue.
But is that required? Because what 2171 does is that allows the gravamen of the offense to occur in either county.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Shields.
Ms. Meyer, do you, it sounds like you don't quarrel with the intent of the bill. It's just that kind of the specifics of it may need to be tweaked. I was wondering if there might be an amendment that you could bring forward that could help clarify this.
I would be happy to have further discussions with the Oregon State Police about that, and with counsel also of the committee. Perhaps the I don't want an offender to read this as I initially read this, suggesting that one can only report in the county in which they've moved to, in which they currently reside. And the question really posed is, where does the gravamen of the offense occur? So I'm happy to have further conversations outside of the committee.
We'll let them work it out, I think. With your help, I'd appreciate if you would work with the state police and see if we could clarify that so that it is easy for anybody, not just, I mean, obviously when an attorney has trouble, it makes it worse. So that an offender could look at that law if somebody showed it to them and they would know what they needed to do, where they needed to do it.
I would appreciate that,
okay,
Mr. Chair.
Okay, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2171.
Thank you.
Open a public hearing on House Bill 2172. Modifies procedure for obtaining relief from sex offender reporting under ORS 181.820. Ms. Civil.
This is a fairly straightforward bill that simply clarifies where a person needs to file their request for relief. And we do have the fiscal and revenue statements on this.
Okay. Ms. Beatty again, please.
Members of the committee, again, my name is Vi Beatty. I'm the manager of the Sex Offender Registry for the state of Oregon with Oregon State Police. This one's very easy. really, it is. And it makes sense. I'm sorry, my personal opinion, and that probably shouldn't be on the record. If currently, under current law, if I am required to register, and I always use myself, as a sex offender in the state of Oregon, and I move to the state of Montana, and my crime does not equate to a Montana crime, I'm required to register there simply because Oregon requires me to register here. I cannot be relieved of my requirement in Montana because of my requirement in Oregon, and I cannot be relieved of my requirement in Oregon unless I'm here as a resident, because current law says I have to file in my county of residency. So what we'd like to do is change this to county of conviction or adjudication so that even those offenders who live out of state could still be relieved under Oregon law and possibly relieved in the state they're currently residing.
So they would be, if I may, they would be asking, they moved to Idaho or to Montana where they don't have to register, and so they're saying, could I be relieved of it? They come back here, they would get relieved in Oregon in the courts.
Right. They could have a legal representative or an attorney represent them here as opposed to having to come back and be a resident of Oregon to do this.
Okay. Representative Smith.
And you may have just answered my, thank you, Mr. Chair. You may have just answered my question. So I'm in Montana, and I don't go to Montana court to get relieved. I fly back to Oregon, or I have somebody represent me in Oregon to go to a court in Oregon to have me relieved. Is that what you're suggesting?
Exactly.
And is there anything, would we want to move to a world in which if I didn't have a representative in Oregon and I were in Montana, I could do it in Montana, or is that just a mythical world to which we will never travel?
It does happen occasionally, but I'll use California and Oregon as an example.
Yeah.
Currently, we have people who are required to register in Oregon based on their California requirement. There is no way for them to be relieved in Oregon because of their California requirement, and their crime equates to what Oregon considers a Class A or B felony, or they may have more than one in Oregon. But if the underlying intent, excuse me, even though we cannot equate the crime to an Oregon sex crime, and that's the basis here, if the underlying registration obligation in California went away, that individual would not be required to register in Oregon. But that's the only way that person would be relieved in Oregon, is to have their originating state's requirement go away.
Okay.
further questions? Hearing none. Okay. Thank you very much. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2172. I'll accept a motion. Open a work session on House Bill 2172 and accept a motion to send this to the floor with a due pass.
So moved.
Representative Smith moves House Bill 2172 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, take the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Merritt?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Siegler?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnant?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Smith, would you carry that for us?
Sure.
Thank you. No further business. Is there further business to come before the committee today? Hearing none. Meeting adjourned. Thank you. Four bills and only one question from an attorney.